Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast.
So sad.
You sound terrible.
You're so dramatic,
dude. How did you get worse between talking to us 10
so
seconds
dramatic.
Ago?
Oh, my God.
You got worse.
I wasn't even doing that. I swear that's what I...
Laying it on.
You want to try it? And yeah, what do you want to do?
Go ahead, try it again.
And welcome. Well, let me get spunky about it. And oh my God, it hurts.
I was trying to help you.
Dude, I feel so much worse than the last show.
Oh my God.
So much worse.
That's how it is when you get a cold.
Yeah, now you just made it worse by me doing all those ands.
The Grim Reaper's waiting for him.
I'm Rich Dotson.
I'm Matt O'Hara.
I'm Gary Price.
Jared, come on.
Hey, I'm Jared.
God, we're trying to help this dude out, man. Come on.
Can we get into this mock draft round two? I can't talk. Yeah. I'm only talking about my players.
All right. Obviously, you know, if you're just popping on this show and you didn't hear the first one, go back and listen to round one. It's not going to make as much sense if you just go right into round two, right?
Although it's different now because this used to be regular episode and then Nerd Herd episode. So there was like a clear line. Now it might be a little bit more confusing because one's going to come out on Wednesday. But if you missed it,
I know
this is the one at the top of your feed.
Can we get a recap?
We should recap.
It'll clearly say part two.
Come on. No. Make him go back and listen.
No, give me a recap of round one.
What?
Stop talking, Rich.
Yeah, you talk too much. should I do the recap?
Yeah, do recap the recap.
It. All right.
Recap
it. All right. Caleb Williams went 1-1, then Marvin Harrison, Drake May, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, the interesting quarterback out of LSU. Then Brock Bowers, Rome Adunze. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep.
Thank you. Michael Penix Jr., Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas Jr., Trevion Henderson, and then rounded off with Troy Franklin, wide receiver from Oregon.
There we go. Recapping the first round.
So that was a quick recap. If you want the in-depth version, go back to the first round. We did a whole show about it. It was great.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
So here we are.
We did a whole show about it.
The second round's kicking off here. I am going back to the well here with the quarterbacks. I'm going Bo Nix, Oregon. You know, obviously this was a guy that started off his career at Auburn. Mm-hmm. He did 3 years of service there before transferring to Oregon for the past two seasons. You know, a very interesting guy. He was second in the nation in yards, 4,500, a little over 4,500. I believe he led the league or the whole nation in touchdowns, 45 touchdowns to only three interceptions. So
are we still recording this one like video?
Yes. Just okay. Crazy. This is so dramatic.
Just crazy stats.
Rich, so dramatic. Dude. Oh, man. I'm the same way when I'm sick. My wife's like, you are such a baby.
That's just a guy thing. I'm the same exact way. But anyway, back to the stats. 77% completion percentage, yeah. Over 77. So just crazy stats he's putting up here, right? And the name of the game is to put up crazy stats, right? We're playing fantasy football. We're
playing fantasy football.
I honestly,
give me the numbers.
I don't know what the draft capital is going to be, right?
He's another one of those quarterbacks that I just have a hard, and this is there is no like great analysis around this. I'm just simply saying every time I watch him play, I always feel disappointed. Like I don't feel like the numbers and the production match what I see when I watch him play. Like I'm always underwhelmed. And
college will do that to you.
Yeah. And he's like 28 years old. So maybe that has something to do with it.
What's his real age?
I think he's 24.
Okay.
I think he is 24. Okay. I think he's actually older than Penix. If not, he's like only a few months younger.
Sure.
Like they're both very old prospects. But look, he, on numbers alone, he should absolutely be.
He's 23.
23, but he'll be 24 before.
And it's February.
It's Penix and him that are leading the nation. It was Penix. Right. Penix number one, and he's number two. He's got the, you know, the edge as far as touchdowns. He's got 10 more than Penix. Mm-hmm. So they're very close as far as that. They know the college game well, right? I mean, they've been around him for a while.
Been around the block. But Penix beat him head to head twice.
Yeah.
And, and it's not only a quarterback game, but that makes me.
Right, lean.
Lean towards Penix in that type of situation.
And Penix went, you know, the eighth pick in the first round. I don't think it's crazy to think Bo Nix will be around in this range, right, as far as right now.
No, not at all. I think he is a day two quarterback.
I was going to say he's probably a second round guy, maybe even third, depending on
how
the thing falls. Yeah, exactly. He's had some rushing.
He's a better athlete than Michael Penix as far as his rushing ability and making plays outside the pocket. So it sounds like I'm saying there's no way Bo Nix should be 201. I'm not saying
that. I watched one game of him and like what I saw casually of Oregon throughout the season, but I watched one game of him and there was a couple times I'm like, what the hell was that throw? Like,
yeah,
like on a screen pass, he double pumped and threw a pass that just got his wide receiver killed, like at the line of scrimmage. Like, dude, you just can't do that. Brilliant. Like, if you're gonna double pump it, just throw it over.
Just throw it
over the guy's head. You know what I mean? Just get rid of it, throw it over his head, and just eat it. Don't get your guy killed. So, I think there is probably some things that I'm going to see when I do our deep dive that are going to concern me. So maybe he doesn't end up going this high, but it's a premium position. There's never enough of them. And depending on where he gets drafted in the NFL, he could very well be, getting drafted right around the second round. If not, maybe even a little higher, a skosh higher. If he's like a high second round draft pick, somebody falls in love with him. So, Rich, you are on the clock.
I'm taking wide receiver Emeka Egbuka. Out of Ohio State.
Easy for you to say.
6'1", 205 pounds.
Hasn't declared. Another guy that has not declared
yet. But somebody, again, I've watched all his film throughout the years, and a very solid receiver. Real fast, really good route runner.
I feel like, personally, having watched all the same stuff that you have, I wouldn't be upset if he went back to school and kind of had his 1 year to shine as the guy. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Him and like Jeremiah Smith, like tutor that
I
way.
Think he should go back to school.
Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, just a very good route runner, very fast guy, wins by getting separation a lot. Kind of reminds me of Chris Olave, former Ohio State receiver there.
I think he's just a lot bigger and thicker than
yeah, definitely. Olave.
Yep.
Definitely bigger. Yeah. 6'1", 205. You was really expecting him to take a big breakout year this year with Marvin being opposite of Marvin Harrison Jr., but really didn't.
Nope.
Honestly, kind of like a couple of receivers, but kind of took a step back somewhat overall production wise, but still wins by getting open. Had some drops, more drops than I would like this year.
I agree.
I saw. I don't know. I want to dig deep on tape and see like how many of those were concentration drops and how many weren't concentration drops.
And that's why I almost want to see him as, instead of him being a secondary piece to Marvin Harrison, I want to see what he can do as maybe he's the number one target. He's getting involved early. He's, you know what I mean? Like he's in that game plan and some wide receivers, if they're not involved early, their mind drifts a little bit. Maybe they're not as sharp as they should be when that first ball comes and then they drop it. And then it's in their head. You know what I mean? Then they drop maybe another ball later on. And it's one of those things where it just kind of snowballs on him a little bit. So I wouldn't mind him going back. I would understand if he left because having seen what we saw in that bowl game with what's to come, if Aaron Nolan is not the man there at Ohio State next year, it's looking a little bleak as far as the passing game for the Buckeyes. So I guess I wouldn't fault him if he wanted to leave that situation, but I still wouldn't mind just seeing him one more year, maybe of some seasoning.
He definitely has a skill set where he could come out and be a solid NFL receiver. And that's the thing. Like he's fallen back to the middle of the pack of this wide receiver class. It's so deep. So he could possibly go back just to be like a higher draft pick and make more money that way. But he's got a lot of good tangibles about him. You know, like I said, I like his route running. I really like his speed. I like him with the ball in his hands as well. Knows how to get open, which is really important. For the production. Doesn't block very well. I said the hands can be concerned at times.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really overly concerned with his hands really until this year.
Right.
Honestly. I really did expect him. I honestly looked at him as coming to this guy like this year. I was like, oh, wow, Marvin Harrison will be the first receiver off the board and Mecca will be the number two receiver off the board.
There was definitely going into the season that thought.
That's how I looked at him coming into this season, and a lot of that changed. Again, Kyle McCord wasn't anything to write home about at quarterback for Ohio State either there. But, you know, Mecca didn't do a lot of things to help him. So at this point, the high second round, he definitely has the upside for me if he does declare where, like, this is a player I do want to gamble on.
He was another guy that's been – just like Travion, like he was dinged up all year. It just came out that he was dealing with some ankle issues, and I think he had surgery on it early in the season and played through it. But
is that what he missed time for? Like, because he missed a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he underwent tightrope surgery after he injured his ankle earlier in the year. But I think later in the season, like the last couple of games, even though he was a stinker versus Missouri, he still looked kind of like his old self that we saw in the past. So it'd probably serve him best to come back to Ohio State, but we'll see what he does.
Yeah, especially with how cluttered this class has become.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody that maybe at one point was considered to have, you know, round one draft capital. Now, just because of the mass volume of receivers, might slip into mid to even late round two.
Yeah, or three. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. So I think especially with how lucrative the NIL stuff can be now, and he hasn't beat Michigan yet. And that's part of the reason that a lot of these Ohio State guys, you know, that went from beating them every single year to now having lost three straight. These guys are now going to leave school without having beaten Michigan. And as silly as that sounds to everyone else in the country.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal. So if you can still get paid similar to a first or second round player with NIL stuff,
which is crazy,
and have another opportunity to get better, improve your draft stock, like it does kind of make sense. So, and I think that's why, even though we all believe Marvin Harrison will come out, that was part of the reasoning why Marvin Harrison was considering
coming back,
maybe not coming to the NFL. So
I think all the NIL money is starting to get a little like blown out of proportion on like what's actually being paid.
Sure.
So I think earlier it was reported like Ohio State's going to offer Marvin Harrison $20 million to come back, which there's no way. Top of the line quarterbacks are reportedly getting like $3 million, $2 million. So there's no way they're going to pay a wide receiver $20 million. So comparing it to like first round or second round money, I think's getting blown out a little out of proportion. And it's not guaranteed. Some of these guys aren't getting paid.
Sure.
They're getting told they're going to get this money.
I've heard a lot of people.
No regulation. Yeah, there's no regulation. The dude from Texas A&M, Evan Stewart, one of the top wide receivers in next year's class, he's transferring to Texas A&M. He said, I never got a dime of what I was told I was going to get. Whew. It's just a mess, dude. Yeah. The NCAA needs to figure out a system.
There needs to be some sort of regulation, for sure.
Yeah, I think.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that real quick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll see how all of that plays out. I ended up being at 2-3, and I had a few different directions that I wanted to go. I went here a little bit off the board. I went with Tez Walker, wide receiver from North Carolina. So, you know, I'm pairing him up with my Drake May pick from earlier. Tez Walker's had a really, really interesting career. So he started off at North Carolina. But because of all of the COVID stuff, and there was just a lot of things going on, and just a lot of players do this, he ended up deciding to transfer because he wanted to get to play and play right away. And he went to Kent State for 2 years. Went to Kent State, and he ended up having a really good second year there. The first year he didn't do much, but the second year at Kent State, he had a 900-yard season with 11 touchdowns. Transferred back to North Carolina this past season, But it was a weird thing. So the NCAA, for whatever reason, with all of these people that they let transfer and move around, they said he was going to be ineligible for the 2023 season because this was his second transfer, even though there were a lot of other players that did it. So Mack Brown came out and like blasted the NCAA. Then all of a sudden, like 5 weeks into the season, NCAA is like, yeah, he can play now. He's good. Just out of the blue. So really, wacky. Really weird yeah. season for him. But came out in only 8 games, put up nearly 700 yards and 7 touchdowns in those 8 games. Looked really good going up and getting the football. And these numbers would have been even better. He actually took a brutal hit at one point during the season at the end of October there that kind of messed him up a little bit. But really, really talented receiver, can make some really big plays. So there's not as much film around him, but rumor has it that he's the type of guy that could be a very solid second round pick in the NFL draft. So curious to see once I dig deeper into his tape, once there's more information out on him. He's one of the bigger unknowns kind of in this draft, but I really like what I've seen out of him so far. 6'3", 175 pounds.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know much about him. So that's all good and all kind of news to me. On Tez Walker.
Yeah, it was a really weird situation because I didn't even know anything about him until all of a sudden I heard he was eligible. And I was like, wait, who's this guy that everybody's excited about now? So because apparently preseason he was projected to be the number one guy for Drake May and mm-hmm, all of these, mm-hmm. Like Keon Coleman kind of right. really elevated his stock.
Absolutely.
The same kind of thing for Tez Walker. And when he played and when he was healthy, he looked really good. So we'll have to see kind of how all this comes together.
We'll get a good look at him at the Senior Bowl. He's attending the Senior Bowl, so excited about that.
Nice.
Hey, guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the Mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, you use the analyzer. You can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right, where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. Have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERD.
Get your whole estate
set. Yeah, so I am on the clock here at 2:04. And I'm going to go with our, believe it or not, our second running back off the board, Blake Corum. And I think everyone probably at this point has heard of Blake Corum, all-time touchdown, rushing touchdown leader at Michigan. He's 5'8", 213. So he's got some mass, even though he's short. Mm-hmm. I think he carries it well. He breaks tackles extremely well. He's older. He's 23 already. So he's an older player in this class. I really like his ability to make people miss. I think he has really good vision. I do not know if I'm actually going to have him at RB2. Obviously this is extremely early.
Sure. Yeah.
And Michigan's offensive line is really good.
Really, really good.
I mean, did they win the Joe Moore Award? I think they did.
They might have. I didn't hear.
I can't remember.
Is that best?
I need to look. Yeah, best offensive line in the country. But, they look like
they
it.
They are very good.
Yeah, on both sides of the ball. But had back to back 1,000-yard seasons. He had 25 touchdowns this year rushing. Can catch the ball. Like I said, make people miss. I mean, he can really do everything that you want.
He runs with good patience too. Yeah, that's another part of his game that's probably underrated.
He's not like the sexy back. Like, he's not extremely fast. He's not extremely twitchy like Gibbs or something, but he just gets the job done earlier, like Rich said.
I said in the first show, he reminds me a lot of like a Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
Which would have sounded bad last year, but now looking at what Kyren Williams is doing, obviously that's a pretty big compliment.
You just hear so many good things about his character too.
Great leader.
Just a team guy. So I really like what I see. I took him now because I did break him down last year for the Nerd Score, and I was impressed with what I saw then, and he had a better season now. So looking forward to diving in and seeing more of him, but I do like what I see.
Yeah, can't blame you there.
Yeah, it's a nice pick. Moving on to the fifth pick, I'm dipping my toe back into this Michigan well. I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy. I know he doesn't have, like, sexy numbers, right? He's not one of these guys that's going to get you a ton of yards or a ton of touchdowns, but he's a game manager, right? He does everything that they're asking him to do. I'm not sure if he's got more.
It does feel like he has more traits,
yeah.
But they're winning by running the football.
Right.
Extremely athletic.
But yeah, he's a good athlete. He's made some big time throws and some big time moments.
Do you think he goes back?
I think there's a strong chance that he could go back. But if you win the national championship, you go out beating Ohio State, like, there's not much more to accomplish. Unless people are saying, hey, we would take you in the third round right now.
Yeah.
But if you refine these things, we'll take you in the first. That, I think, would be the only thing that would change his mind. So we'll have to see what happens in this national championship.
I think Michigan's looking forward to an orgy.
A what?
An orgy.
Wait, what?
Of what kind?
I'm just kidding. Their backup quarterback's name is Orgy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I forgot completely about that. That is accurate, though.
He played a little bit the other night.
He did. He did. I was really thrown
off. RG3 had jokes about that.
I expected that out of
Rich. Rich did not like that at all.
I was dying.
He's like, look, those are my jokes. Don't steal my jokes.
Somebody has come to my
funeral. Hey, I got
to do Rich. Rich can't say them.
My Richisms.
So anyway, I mean, this pick right here in the middle of the second round, might he be something? Sure. Might he be nothing? I don't know. Is he a guy that's a Brock Purdy-esque guy who just doesn't make mistakes? If he gets in the right system, can really thrive in the NFL? Who knows? I mean, he doesn't make mistakes. He has a tendency to take care of the ball. A 22-4 interception, you know, TD to interception ratio is pretty decent. And he completed 73% of his passes. So I think he's worth taking a look here. I think he's a guy that has potential. How about that in the NFL to be a starter?
I think he could be a second round pick, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when he starts testing. I know he's going to test really well.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
He's got good size too.
And that's the thing. You talk a lot about him being a game manager, which is fair. Based on what Michigan has asked him to do.
Right.
So I think that's a very fair thing. But I think compared to a lot of these guys, he is somebody that seemingly has a lot of untapped potential to be a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does have a strong arm. He is a good athlete. You know, that would put him in line with some of the top tier guys.
That's why I try to kind of mention him in the same breath as a Brock Purdy, who's just super efficient, operating at a crazy high level and producing from a fantasy perspective. I mean, not seemingly out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Sure. The guy came out of total obscurity. So I think J.J. McCarthy has, you know, probably just as much, if not more, upside coming into the NFL than a guy like that. So
I would agree with that.
All right, Rich. I'm going to take an interesting prospect here. Running back out of Wisconsin, Braylon Allen. Big kid, 6 foot two, 245 pounds, real young, only going to be 20 years old.
Yeah, super.
Coming here, he'll turn 20 in like January.
Yeah, like he's 19 at the moment.
Yeah, January 20th he turns. So he'll be like the youngest prospect in this draft, essentially. But he's a big kid.
Has he declared?
Okay. So real big, you know, pile moving kind of kid, but real good balance for his size too. He's really good balance. Shows a little bit of shiftiness in open field for his size. That looks pretty good. He's a can in the passing game. I wouldn't call him a pass catcher and running back, but he's definitely a can guy for like easy screens, dump off
and
that.
And you're saying he can do that?
Yeah.
For the people that can't understand what you're saying.
He's not going to run routes for you. So he's got some of that. Like when he gets the ball and he gets behind the line, when he gets past the line of scrimmage, like he's a solid runner. His vision's pretty good out there, but he's not fast at all. With that, he has no start-stop ability whatsoever. It's like once he goes, that's it.
Head
like
of steam. Is he head of steam type of guy?
Yeah.
So, 245 pounds.
You know. So behind, like,
makes
so
sense.
With that, like, there's some worry about that at the NFL level.
Sure.
Not being able to, like, do things like that. Like he's, like, when you think of a player of his size, you think of a guy like A.J. Dillon, but A.J. Dillon had quicker feet, you know, so A.J. Dillon was able to maneuver better behind the line of scrimmage. He doesn't do that. But for a guy of his size and his vision,
he actually uses his power more than A.J. Dillon.
Yes. He, with his contact balance and his size and his vision, he could definitely excel at the next level in the right system.
He kind of strikes me as, you use this term a lot, Rich, and I think it's a good one for Allen, at least at the moment. Still haven't done my deep dive. But at the moment, he seems like a guy that's going to help an NFL team more than he's going to help your fantasy team. He strikes me as a guy that's going to get 15 carries a game for 67 yards.
67 hard yards.
Like, you know, and you're really hoping he got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't get a touchdown, you got 6.7 points.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the kind of guy he reminds me of.
If he could find that David Montgomery role, like, even that, like, the guy who's going to score a lot, that role, like the guy that has a running back on the team that, like, Miami next year, first, if it was like him and Devon Achane, right?
Yeah, going so he fills in for Jeff Wilson, basically.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, some along those lines. When Brandon Jacobs had the 1 year where he scored like 13 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Blunt. I want to see where he gets drafted and what offense he gets into. But there is a role there for him to find success.
For sure.
Definitely at the NFL level, but more at the fantasy level. I was just looking at running backs here to grab a running back to get on my roster and talk about. And he's somebody I know, like, with his youth and his size, and like I said, in the way he's able to move in the open field at that size, it's intriguing to me.
Yeah, he's definitely an intriguing prospect. The youth is huge because even if he takes 2 years to develop, he's like normal age for most other running backs.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that reclassified when he came out.
So
skipped his last year of high school.
Very, very, very interesting player.
Yeah, not going to break off a home run threat. Not overly. He's not overly athletic.
Is he a guy that could shed some LBs? Could he be like
he got down to it. He's
like Lev Bell. Like
he started at 11% body fat. He's at 8% body fat now.
He's not a plotter any means.
He's not. He doesn't have like baby fat to lose. Really, he's just big muscular friggin' dude. All right.
He's just yoked.
All
right. Interesting prospect.
Interesting. I'm excited. He's one of the ones I'm looking forward to more so than a lot of other guys to break down because I could see me going strongly one way or another, being like all in on him because I love good downhill runners. But I could also see myself being like, yeah, I just don't want him on my team. Like, I just don't see the fantasy value.
Can we get him to go vegan for like a month?
Yeah.
Get him down to like 227.
Yeah.
And maybe get some quicks.
That'll get hurt.
You know, get him some quicks and then be
dude, I swear, get him back like 2 years ago, I saw some stat. Every NFL player that ended up going like vegan ended up getting like hurt.
Then Cam Newton.
Cam Newton did it.
Yeah.
There was a couple other guys right around that same time.
Sorry, vegans.
I just want to lean him down a little bit. That's all. I'm
going to go back.
Nothing permanent. Back, nothing permanent,
eat
man.
Eat a steak.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Trey Benson here. Trey Benson, it kind of was similar to
position.
Running back, 6'1", 211 pounds, currently from Florida State, originated out of Oregon, transferred 2 years into his career. As a junior, had a nice little season, over 900 yards for Florida State there. But the problem was, year two didn't really change. Like, his numbers are pretty similar. He had 990 yards as a sophomore. It was his third season as a sophomore. Only had 906 this year. 9 touchdowns. Yep, that's a 14 this year. But he was a little inconsistent. And there would be moments where I would watch Trey Benson and I was like, man, he might be the best back in this class. And then there would be other moments where I'm like, he's a day three guy. Not interested.
Same, dude.
Like, and it was just a lot of, but that was Florida State this year with a lot of their offensive stuff. So it's really hard to place here, but just on the moments where I would see him make certain moves, especially at his size. I mean, 6'1", That's, and so even if he comes in at 6 foot, I'm good with that. I would almost rather him be 6 foot.
Yeah, 5'11", 6 foot. That's what you're looking for.
That's a pretty ideal range there. So, and he could actually put on some more weight. When you have that kind of frame, he's almost closer to a wide receiver build at 6'1", 211 than he is at a traditional running back build. Blake Corum's at 213 at freaking 5'8". Yeah. So he could put on some more weight, but you saw some good power from him at times, but you also saw some good elusiveness from him. The inconsistencies are there, but the upside is there. And so on the upside alone at this point, you know, midway through the second round, he's the type of guy that I just want to take a chance on and see maybe he's the back in this class that kind of emerges.
He's Garrett's type. Like he had a catastrophic knee injury in 2020. He tore his ACL, MCL, and his meniscus. That almost ended his career.
I love all these hurt guys.
So, I mean, he's right up there with Tajay Spears, Dobbins, Javonte. Oh, is your guy.
That's true. If you've had a catastrophic knee injury, you're right for me.
Or if you haven't, DJ you're going to have one.
DJ Dallas hasn't, right?
No, he
Don't
hasn't.
Put
he
that. Hasn't. Juju.
If it happens,
sorry, DJ.
If it happens tomorrow.
My bad, man. Jeez.
Oh, you're right. Man. So I'm going with Trey Benson.
All right, man. I don't know much about him. I do like the fact that you know, he's had a catastrophic knee injury as well. So
is he related to Cedric Benson?
I'm on it.
I don't think he has any relation to Cedric Benson as far as I know. Do you know anything about that?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about that.
I was trying to think of Cedric Benson. I just remember him crying when he got drafted. So like rivers of tears.
Yeah.
It can be an emotional time.
I am on the clock at 208, and I'm going to go with the wide receiver from South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, 6'3", 227 pounds, late quote-unquote breakout guy. So he hasn't really come on the scene until this last year at South Carolina, and it's when he finally actually got some opportunity. Everything I read about this dude is just – work ethic, hard worker. His coach, Dow Loggins, I think his former OC, he compared him to Frank Gore. He had the opportunity to coach Frank Gore at one point, and he said he reminds him of Frank Gore in the terms of how he comes to work. He's first one in, last guy out kind of guy. But really impressive statistics this year. He had 1,255 yards receiving, which is 99th percentile in this class. Seven touchdowns. Quarterback rating when targeted, 127. Yards per route run, 3.15, which is extremely good. He's got great size. Like I said, 6'3", 227 pounds. Really good on special teams. I've read quite a bit about how teams are probably going to be targeting him later as a gunner. Like, he is extremely good at getting down the field and covering punts.
So it's huge, too, for me, because then you're going to make it kind of a roster and get a higher opportunity to succeed.
Exactly. We talk about that all the time with, like, late-round dart kind of guys is, like, find a guy that's going to make a roster and that has some good intangibles and attributes. Really good at the catch point. Not overly fast. Bigger guy. But, man, when he gets thrown the ball, dude, he just finds a way, kind of like Roma Dunze earlier. He gets it. He makes plays.
I liked watching him. I haven't watched a ton, but yards after the catch seem to be pretty big for him.
Yeah.
That's a way that, when you have that kind of build, able to break tackles.
Shed some of those 60th
percentile in yards after catch in this class.
And he was eighth in the nation in receiving yards. So, I mean, he's way up the list.
I haven't watched any of him either, but his name has popped up on a lot, like, as I do my casual like research, like reading like reports on from guys that I trust.
Sure.
His name pops up a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is weird though that his career best in yards before the season, and this was his fifth year, was 167.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the part where it's like, why, especially at South Carolina, you know, it's Bama or Ohio State or, you know, some of these better receiver schools, like, okay, I kind of get it, but South Carolina, they're begging for some guys at receivers. So that is one of the things that makes me go, why is that? What happened there? So we'll have to see. Excited to dig into him, though.
All right. So with the ninth pick and my final pick in this draft, I'm going to go another Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. Listed at 6'1", 172 pounds. So you watch him on tape in his white uniform, and he looks really almost, wow, just like sticks out there.
Yeah.
He's thin.
Devontae Smith style.
He is Devontae Smith. That is the vibes I was getting. I mean, obviously, he's not as polished and as good as him, or we would have been talking about him much earlier. But Xavier Worthy, I think, you know, he was a name on the board, and I took him. I don't know much more than that.
He's got drops issues.
Okay,
he does.
But I did actually in the one film that I watched. I wasn't sure if it was a consistent thing, but I did see him drop some balls, and it was somewhat concerning.
That's one of the big things for him. One of the pluses for him was a guy that was producing like as a true freshman at Texas. So he's been doing it for a while as a true freshman, 981 yards and 12 touchdowns in his freshman campaign.
He might be the fastest receiver in the draft.
He's got some wheels, but
those guys never succeed.
Sometimes. Jalen Waddle's pretty good.
I mean, I was thinking of like a DeSean Jackson type of guy he got downfield with ease stuff that I was looking at. And that was the thing. And I did in my brain, I was like, you know what? He does look very slight. I don't know that he's got the movement skills that a Devontae Smith does. So I'm not sure I'm going to love him. I was like, but in the back of my mind, I'm not going to write him off because I don't want another Tank Dell issue to kind of happen again this year.
Sure.
So we talked about honing processes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give this guy a fair shake. I don't love the fact that he dropped some balls in the first, you know, tape that I watched, and now you guys are talking about him dropping balls. So I will watch it through that lens because, I mean, that's right. Just something that's you're not going to get on the field if you're doing that in the NFL consistently.
It's been a shtick.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's something that crops up more or pops up more, I guess, while I'm watching the tape.
At least for an undersized guy weight-wise, he does at least have the height.
Yeah, 6'1".
6'1", which is different than some of those other guys.
Sure, if he was 5'10", he would be 156 pounds instead of 171. But, right, and this is all still early. Who knows what his actual measurements are going to come in? He does look thin, so I would expect him to come in thin, but who knows?
Yep. My last pick, I'm taking Chase McCollum, running back out of Alabama, 5'11", about 212 pounds. Interesting runner. He was a high prospect. Tore up his knee at ACL tear, I think 2 years ago, in 2021 it was. Upright runner, one cut, let's go kind of guy. Okay speed, not overly shifty. For being 5'11", 212 pounds, not overly powerful, but can get it done. Gets off the line pretty well. Shown some good patience behind the line of scrimmage. Lets his blocks set up for himself. Again, he does a good burst, but not overly fast.
We're not talking about one of these Alabama guys that's going to be a potential first-round draft pick or anything crazy.
No,
like
not
that.
At
so
all.
He's a little bit farther back.
Not at all. His hands are – he's a capable pass catcher. Didn't run a whole bunch of routes from what I've seen. But definitely a nice runner. You know, a high prospect, hurt his knee. Yep. Never really kind of had a breakout year there at Alabama.
Kind of just always stuck behind guys and just couldn't really ever break through.
So just – but a high prospect coming out. Yeah. So, and he put up some here and there good film.
Yeah.
But nothing that blows you away. Just, and that's what worries me. It's like you're on this Alabama team and you just kind of like, you get what's there. Like, there it is. You know, you're not going to bust off a big threat. You're not juking anybody out of their shoes, but you're a solid running back.
Could this guy be a Brian Robinson type of guy who's got a little bit more in the NFL?
Not as big as Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Though.
Okay.
He's just solid. Okay. He had a good game the other night.
Reminds me of like a really good backup running back in the NFL that when he gets the opportunity to play, he plays well, but never a guy that you're prioritizing, like pushing.
Got to get him more carries.
Yeah. Like a Jerome Ford, you know, like get in there.
Jerome Ford, Alexander Madison.
Yeah.
Like those types of guys that they're steady. They're good. They're fine. But there's not Zach Moss. Like just
you don't
want
to be your number one guy.
Right.
But for a couple games, gonna get a couple carries here and there. If he's a starter, he's gonna score enough points.
Yep.
Some games, but how good is his offensive line?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. All right. I'm up. The penultimate pick of this draft. I went with Marshawn Lloyd here. Marshawn Lloyd's a guy that I've been kind of interested in ever since he came out as a freshman. Didn't do anything his freshman year, but in year two at South Carolina, started to get a little bit of work. Year three, got some more work, but he never had that big year. And it was interesting because he was a high prospect, highly graded prospect, higher than typically you would think of at South Carolina, especially for a guy that didn't get a ton of work, dealt with some injuries and was banged up here and there, transferred to USC this year, and still was working as part of a committee, but he put up on only 116 carries, put up 820 yards. That's good for 7.1 yards per carry, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Nine touchdowns in that, showed himself to be capable in the receiving game as well. 230 yards in the receiving game. Kind of reminds me of a Doug Martin type, a little muscle hamster guy. He's not super tall, but plays really physical. And at 215, 220 pounds, he's gonna be a very physical guy, but he's only listed at like 5'9".
I always thought Doug Martin was overrated.
He had some really good seasons.
He did, a couple.
Yeah.
By like two.
I think he had that every other year thing going it for a while there. Great season, terrible season, great season, terrible season. But all that to be said, Marshawn Lloyd, I liked what I saw while watching him at USC, kind of watching him because I was watching Caleb Williams.
Right.
But there would be times where he would flash and I was like, oh, I thought he kind of died and went to the wayside. And no, he's still the thing. So excited to dig into his tape more as well.
Cool.
Yeah, I can see him being a guy that rises up. For me too. He had that knee injury early in his career. It kind of set him back.
You know me and knee injuries.
I know. Did he have two knee injuries? I thought he did. I thought he got hurt and then got hurt again.
But I was going to say, I think he might have had a high school and then.
I got to look. I know like before his freshman year, he got hurt.
And that's, yeah.
Because he was hyped up and I liked him a lot. But yeah, he definitely flashed for me too. So I'm on the clock here with the last pick, 212. And I'm going to take JT Sanders, tight end from Texas. This is a tight end premium, and I think he has a chance to get first-round draft capital. So we could likely see him go much earlier than this if this happens, if that happens, because he's a really good athlete, man. He can make people miss in the open field. You can line him up in line. He can block.
Sanders was somewhere else before Texas, right? Or no? Or am I thinking of Bell?
No, I don't think he was. I think he's always been at Texas. But just some, you know, he's projected around like a 4.6. I saw sometimes that he's running the pass, a 4.6 in the 40, 33.5-inch vertical. So solid athlete. So I think, like I said, I'm projecting first round draft capital. That's where I've seen him get mocked a lot. I see Bowers and him typically as one and two tight ends in this class. So I took him here so we could talk about him, really.
He looked really athletic when I saw him play.
Yeah.
For being his size. Like, he looked pretty good with the ball in his hands as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's 6'4", 250. That's what I have here 6'4", listed. 250. He's only 20 years old. So, another young
prospect.
Made
some big plays in the game last night as well.
And back-to-back years over 600 yards, which is pretty good for a tight end.
Yeah, so another good tight end.
Average 15 yards here per catch. So,
yeah, he's getting downfield a bit or quite a bit after the catch. Yeah.
That's all right. I had, though.
Yeah, that's it, man. It sounds right, like we're winding it down.
Yeah, a real exciting way to kick out the year as I slowly disappear into my 6 feet bed.
Can't wait to edit all your coughs out of this podcast.
Thank you so much. Can you edit my face out too, please?
I was going to say, can we do one of those blur things over here?
I would appreciate that. Honestly, I'm trying to like keep my wife intact. So yeah, we're back. We're back next week. I think we're going to talk next week, 2024. Kind of headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to do our award show.
Yep.
And then after that, we'll do our some good buys and some good sells. So a couple good weeks coming up here. And don't forget, we got the Nerd Hurt shows coming out. If you want to join the Nerd Hurt, you know, we talked about joining through Underdog or just get in there for the film room. It's the number one tool right now you want to get into. You hear us talking about the film room here over the next months, all the way through the NFL draft. It's because it's one of the best tools you can get. I know tons of analysts in this industry that you know that are members of the Nerd Herd because they want to use our film.
We have so much All 22. That's all we focused on.
Yeah, so
for the most part,
hundreds of games of All 22 film out there right now. So,
and shout out to that team.
If you're looking for a place just to watch film on rookies, we have it broken down. Every play that player's in on, you can watch that
film. You can watch that film. You can cut it out. It's a quick little 5-minute, 10-minute kind of ordeal per player. It's great, man.
Yeah, yeah. The All 22 is a tiny bit longer than the broadcast, but it's worth it because you get to see all the angles. And especially when you get to these running backs, like the broadcast does not do it justice. I need to see what's going on with that offense.
That's how you really can, you know, evaluate whether they're falling blocks, whether they're seeing the whole
how kind of vision, what kind of vision they have. I swear you cannot do it well without all 22.
It's all about the angles, man.
Yep, it really is.
Shout out to Dynasty Sean. I told him I'd shout him out for beating me in Garrett's Northeast Ohio League.
Dynasty Sean's a good friend of mine. He's not actually Dynasty Sean, but when he beat us, he renamed himself.
He renamed himself.
Sean. I like Sean.
Leave us a review.
He's a good dude.
All right. Adios.